all content. Okay, whenever you take a scripture out of context, you create a pretext for your own content. In other words, when you take a scripture out of context, you again make the scripture say what you want it to say. And so I changed over the last few years, realizing that I had been wrong. And I simply started asking God, what do the people need to hear? And a few months ago, I asked him that, and he led me to the book of Matthew and that first sermon, the first discourse in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. And as God began to breathe and continue to talk, as I listened, he said, "Son, to this man, preach all 5 of Jesus' sermon." Everybody else stealing people's stuff off YouTube anyhow. So if you won't steal anybody's sermon, steal Jesus' sermons. Can I get a witness? So I have been walking through all 5. And again, we're still on just number 2. This could take us to the end of 2022. I don't know. But what I like about it so much, Stephanie, it just, without me having to make it speak, it speaks to the needs of today. And pray, Lord, it speaks to us for what we're going through without me having to make it up. And if you just keep reading, you just keep talking. I said, if you keep reading, you're going to keep talking. If you keep reading, you're going to keep talking. So we're down now to verse 26 in Matthew chapter 10. So do not be afraid of them, for there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. And if you're a little confused, I'm doing NIV. Normally don't use NIV. We love Old Faithful, but I'm doing NIV today. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Let's go back to 2016. Do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than sparrows. We want to preach this Sunday morning from this subject. Ain't no need to worry. Because his eye is on the sparrow. Ain't no need to worry. Because his eye is on the sparrow. We tried to press a claim last week, and I hope it's sunk in your spirit. Based upon this word of God, it's based upon verse 26. Ain't no need to be scared. Ain't no need to worry. Ain't no need to fear. Even though we're living in some scary times. Even though we have no idea what's about to happen on November 3rd, 2020. For those of us who have a conscience. For those of us who have character. For those of us who believe in loving thy neighbor. It still shocks us that the temporary inhabitant Pennsylvania Avenue still has an opportunity to steal this election. For those who have character, those of us who have a conscience, to those of us who love our neighbor, it's hard for us to fathom that even in some of the battleground states, the polls have this thing so tight. Even in some polls have the temporary inhabitant ahead. And we would think by now, after all the lies, after all the deaths, after all the devastation, that this country would be ready for change. I do believe, but what I've been seeing, that the 26 million Americans, including myself, who have already voted, 26 million Americans who have already voted, including myself, who have stood in line for 8 hours, who stood in line while it rained, while the weather was bad. And most people probably ain't standing in all those lines and going through all that unless they want to change. But people who want the status quo just going to stay home. But I just believe, pray the Lord, all of us who have been out to vote and stood in line and waited and waited and waited have done so. And if you go to the Masonic Temple, you ain't got to wait that long. I'm just going to put the, that's our Lord. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody I told y'all to do that. But they bad. Your best crew. One of them are here with us this morning. The best crew. They got you in and out. And it's a blessing to see so many people there exercising our God-given right to participate in this democracy. And so there's so many things going on that can make us fearful and scared, because if Nero gets another opportunity, he's going to use the N-word the next time. Oh, it's going to slip out. But I tried to press upon your claim, just as Jesus told his disciples, as they go preaching this gospel, as they go carrying the word of God, and they go preaching the goodness of Jesus Christ, and they tell people stop sinning and stop lying, that they're going to be people who just ain't going to like them. They're going to be people who are going to curse them. That this gospel is going to be so radical that it might even pit brother against brother and father against son, and even destroy some families. And some of you have witnessed that in your own lives, where you became saved and you have become a churchgoer. You began volunteering in the church, and your family wondered why you always up at the church, why you always giving your good money. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And then there will be a time where people will not understand your relationship with Jesus Christ. And they might even try to harm you. They will call you everything but a child of God. But don't worry. Fear not. And then Jesus says, because one of the things that he's going to do, not only is he going to cover you and protect you, God is going to give you a preview to the machinations of his mystery. What them highfalutin words mean, preacher? He's going to give you a preview to the machinations of his mystery. In other words, God is going to give you a preview of how the movie ends. God is going to show you in advance how this thing's going to turn out, so you don't have to worry about the different things that go on during the process. Just trust the process. And that's a problem that a lot of us have, is that we know how the end is going to end, but we have a problem going through the process that gets us to that end. We don't want to have to deal like we're dealing with now, with the pain and the pandemic and the perplexity that brings us to where God wants us to go. See, there is no promised land without a wilderness. There is no promised land without a wilderness. I'm going to say that one more time for the Holy Ghost and for two more claps. There is no promised land without a wilderness. And you're going to get anything that God promised for you. The devil, first of all, is going to try to block it. I thought I had some Pentecostal believers that know that the devil will try to block it and will try to get in your way. But the Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. And I got to stand firm on believing that God has some promises, not just for my life, not just for your life, but God has a promise for this country that we're still the United, not the divided states of America. And a change is about to come. That's why I'm not worried. That's why I'm not afraid. That's why I'm going to sleep easy on November 3rd, because comes Wednesday morning. And Jesse Jackson says it's morning time. He says, fear not. everything is going to be all right. Don't worry even about your physical life, but worry most about your soul. He says that people are going to really physically attack you. This is the culture now. You are going to be stoned. You are going to be run out of town. There will be mob violence in the streets. He said, but don't worry about it, because sticks and stones may break my bone. Help me, somebody. But your words, according to the Bible, cannot touch my soul. He says, don't worry about the devil and his imps that might affect your body. Worry about him who can control both your body and your soul. And when he's talking about the person who can control both your body and your soul, he's talking about himself. He said, don't worry about what the other people say. Don't worry about your haters. Don't worry about your naysayers. Don't worry about the people who might try to harm you and block your blessings. Ain't nobody can block your blessings unless I allow them to. And nobody can destroy your soul but me. I decide whether you go to hell or not. Now, ain't no preacher decide, ain't no missionary decide, ain't no evangelical decide, ain't no Pentecostal decide, ain't no apostolic decide whether you got baptized in Jesus' name or not. I decide. Can I get a witness up in here? Nobody decides how you get blessed. Nobody decides how you prosper. Nobody decides where you sing glory but Jesus Christ. So why are you spending all your time worried about what other people think about you, trying to impress people who ain't impressing themselves when they ain't got no control over your life? I need a witness up in here and out there in land that know that nobody can block your blessing but the Lord if he decides to not give it to you. Come here, Job. Come here, Job. Come here, Job. You can touch his body with my permission. Come on, say amen with my permission, with my permission, with my permission. He had to get permission from God. But you can't touch his soul, Job. His wife gonna hate on him. His wife gonna tell him to back out on you. His wife gonna tell him to turn around. But do not try to even touch his soul. You know why? Because his soul is me. You wonder why you ain't been destroyed? Because God can't be destroyed. That's why your soul, when it's hooked up with Jesus, cannot be destroyed, because that's God, and you can't destroy God. No matter how hard the devil might try. He says, don't worry about people who hate on you. Don't worry about people who might try to hurt you. They can't. In the end, I see some of y'all have allowed people to hurt you. Some man hurt you. Some gold digger hurt you. Some boss hurt you. Some choir director. Some choir director hurt you. Some preacher hurt you. But sometimes we allow people to have too much control of our emotions and let people reside in our minds and in our psyche. You got to get some people out your soul. You got to delete not just the number. Sometimes y'all need to throw the whole phone away. You don't need to have them. If you're going to get rid of them, you're going to move on. Take them out. Because soon as that number show up, you're going to have a flashback. Throw the whole phone away and move on with God, that you might get what God has for you. Remind your disciples that God loves you. He says you're going to learn some things. And he says, ain't nobody can destroy your soul but me if I allow it to happen. But the devil does not have that much power. And sometimes, Erica, you know it, we give the devil too much onus. We give the devil too much aplomb. We give him too much power that he does not have. I remember when we were in Ridgeview one day, we were playing, the choir was singing, the organ went out. And somebody said, probably was Butte, the devil. No, it was Eli. He just ran over the cord and knocked the cord out the wall. And that's why everything went out. Sometimes you want to blame everything on the devil. Blame it on the devil. Blame it on, no, no, no. Blame it on yourself for listening. Ain't nobody wants
saying I'm just by here by myself. I'm fine, though. I'm happy in Jesus Christ. Blame it on yourself for giving him the power over you and allow him to occupy space in your dwelling place. He says, God is so in control that he even knows every sparrow. Let me tell you, Jesus says, how in control our God is. That he knows every sparrow and he knows every hair on your head, even if you bought it. That's in the text. That's what you read, right? That's in the text. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? He says God is such a micromanager that he even knows how much sparrows cost in the temple. You're about to learn something. A sparrow is a little innocent, small bird. Very small, very delicate. Tweety bird. Y'all can't stay straight, can you? I just can't. Just a small, innocent bird. It's not an eagle. It's not a vulture. It's an innocent bird that you can keep in a cage in your house. It's small and insignificant like all of us are. And that's why Jesus uses this as an example. It is called a farthing in the King James Version. But in the temple cliff, there were three options that one could use as a sacrifice. A lamb, a turtle dove, or a sparrow. Now, meat for us is everywhere. Back in the day and in this context, you had to be wealthy to have meat. You had to be wealthy to have poultry. You had to be wealthy really to have meat. Especially, I mean, if you had a horse, you had a Cadillac. All right? Everybody couldn't have and could not afford meat for some reason. And so when a person sacrificed a lamb, y'all, they were really making a sacrifice like you would make with your own money because of how costly it was to buy meat and provide meat for your home. Well, there wasn't no Publix. There wasn't no Food Lion. There wasn't no Walmart. There wasn't no Instacart to drop off your poultry to you. You had to go out and hunt it or purchase it or barter for it, and people did not have money. That's why it was only a denarius, which is one penny, and he says the sparrow costs two. I mean, sorry, the sparrow you could get two for one because it was not expensive. But here is the problem. The rich folk had their lambs. The rich folk had their animals to sacrifice. The poor Jew had to purchase an animal once they got to the temple. Now, we have no conceptualization of this because we have never altered. I mean, we have never sacrificed anything on this altar. No, we got the bread and the cup. They already come together. They already been made in the factory. We ain't got to bloody up nothing, get no blood or nothing. But back in the day, sacrifice was serious. They believed that as Isaac, because he was going to kill his son, it was so very serious that the only way that you could get God's attention was to sacrifice an animal. I wish I had enough time today to ask you, what have you even sacrificed for God? Because they were giving up livelihood. They were giving up substance. They were giving up something to feed their family. So it was serious business. And so every time you came to the temple at Jerusalem, you had to sacrifice something. Well, the poor folk didn't have no luggage, so they couldn't bring their animal. They didn't have no animal. They didn't have no way to bring it. Y'all remember my story in Rome? They had no luggage anyhow to bring it. So they would have to purchase it, Doc, when they got to the temple. But here is the problem. When you purchase a sparrow or turtle dove in the temple, you could not use Roman currency. You could only use the Jewish shekel. You're waiting for the punchline, I think. These were Roman citizens who carried around a Roman denarius. But the church didn't take the world's money. Now, you win the lottery, we're going to take 10%. We'll wash it in the blood of the Lamb. But back in this day, y'all go to Vegas, you hit, you come on the call, but right, you get that fly out there with you. But back in this day, it was so serious. You could not use the world's money in the temple. So when you hear about Jesus throwing out the money changers in the Bible, they were literally, y'all, money changers in the lobby of the temple to exchange your Roman currency for Jewish currency that could only be used in the temple to purchase a sacrifice. You could not use the world's money to purchase anything in the temple. So there were literally money changers inside the lobby of the temple to exchange your money for a sacrifice. You could not use the world's money and the world's ways of doing things in the temple. So there were money changers in the lobby to switch out your worldly stuff for God's stuff so that you can make a sacrifice and purchase the sacrifice to be used in the temple. There were money changers in the lobby to switch out what you brought from the world and exchange it for something you could use in the sanctuary to sacrifice for God. That's why we don't need to be pumping you up with praise and worship. That's why we don't need choreography in the praise and worship experience. You should have already exchanged your worldly, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. You should already have exchanged your worldly ways and your worldly thoughts. As soon as you drive on the parking lot, you should already have a spirit of praise. You should already have a spirit of thanksgiving. We shouldn't have to have no choreographer up here or nobody to pump you up and praise you up. You know how God has been good to you. You know everything God is. Shouldn't have to remind you to give him praise. Ain't the Lord been good? Has it been all right? So exchange your hold and cold heart and think you did it for something God can use. And the only thing God can use is your praise. You don't really need your money. We need your money to pay our bills. But God needs your praise because the earth is the Lord's. I feel my help. I feel happy right now. I said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God needs your praise. And so you need to exchange everything that went wrong last week before you come in here to give God something he can use in his temple. Give him his praise. Give him his glory. Give him his thanksgiving. Give him everything. He deserves. Say yes. Well, I need to get baptized on you right now. And I need to close right now. You got to understand. Lord, my soul done got happy. I done got hot. Because my soul done got happy. Because I know that he's in the exchange business. Can I get a witness up in here? I don't know what you used to do. I don't know how you used to act. But ain't you glad that God has exchanged your sin? I said, ain't you glad that God has exchanged some things in your life? That you've been up to the Holy Ghost exchange counter. And some things you used to do, you don't do no more. Because your bad heart has got exchanged for a clean heart. And you've been to the exchange counter. But here is the problem. The problem is, if any of you have ever flown or or travel internationally. When you go to an international country, inside the airport, either on this side or on the other side, you're going to see a little booth that says currency exchange. And what you have to do, you have to go to the little booth, or you can go to a bank, and you have to exchange your American currency for the foreign currency that you're going to. But it ain't for free. They charge you a price. They charge you extra to exchange your American currency for the foreign currency. And sometimes the things don't add up. For instance, our money in America ain't worth as much money in London. But our money here in America is much more than the what the peso is in Mexico. So depending on where you're going, it depends on the exchange rate. But only not only is there an exchange rate, but the guy who's working the counter or the girl that's working the counter is going to charge you a fee just to exchange your money. And that's what Jesus had a problem with. And why he threw the money changers out is because he was charging an extra fee, or they were charging an extra fee to change the currency into a Jewish shekel. But it's deeper than that. Tell your neighbor, you can't really tell your neighbor, just put in the atmosphere, it's deeper than that. Jesus wants us to know ain't no more need for an exchange counter in the temple, because there will not be any more animal sacrifices in the temple. I thought they would get it. There will be no more need for an exchange counter to exchange your money to buy an animal sacrifice in chapter 10, Jacoby. Early on, didn't I tell you he was going to give you a preview? He lets them know in chapter 10, Steph, that there will be no need for any more exchanging of money to buy animal sacrifice, because one day he is going to be the ultimate sacrifice. And I want to thank God one more time that God exchanged my sin by dying on that cross. I want to thank God one more time for exchanging what I was wrong and what I did bad for trying to live a holy and righteous life. I want to thank God right now that he no longer needs us to do an animal sacrifice, because anybody know he was the ultimate sacrifice? Anybody know he was the ultimate sacrifice? Anybody know he was the ultimate sacrifice? So that's why he tells us in chapter 10 what he's going to do about later in chapter 25, when he's going to exchange his life from yours. You should be the one on that cross. You should have been the one that died. But anybody know he exchanged my life when he died on the hill called Calvary? And I'm glad that he died for me. And I know that I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah!
know the Lord is all right. I said, if you know the Lord is all right, if you know he's watching you right now, if you know you're covering you right now,